anything that you're going through right now, just know that God rewards our faith. Sometimes not in our timing that we'd like, but God does hear our prayers. He does see tears. He does see when we're discouraged. Don't give up. Man, victories, great victories coming to each individual, to families. How about to our nation? I'm not giving up on my nation or my community or my mayor or the council or whatever. Are you guys? So, Father, in Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you. We pray for every church in our area right now. Lord, we just pray from the pulpit will come the faith, the word of God, Father God, of encouragement, of strength, Father God, of salvations, of healings, of deliverance, Father God. We just thank you for encouraging your people, Father, because greater is he that is in us. Remember that scripture, but it is true. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Father God. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen? Amen. We thank you, Father God, the shield of faith extinguishing all the fiery darts of the wicked one, trying to bring fear, discouragement. We thank you this morning. That is not going to happen to the people of Chino Valley Family Church and to around our nation. So we thank you for that, God. We have open ears. We're excited to hear what you have to say to us this morning, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
It's an apple. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Shout out while you're still standing. Come on, stand to your feet one more time. Shout out, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now you may be seated. Thank you, Chad, so much for your ministry. Absolutely. He doesn't just do announcements. He and Sean, man, they do Holy Ghost announcements. That's pretty awesome. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We want to welcome each and every one of you here once again today. And I had pretty much made up my mind. I wasn't even going to address the current issue, give it the time of day. But I will say this. You know, this concept of the sovereignty of God out there is so rampant. It's so popular. We hear it every day on the radio. Everything happens for a reason. If it happens to you, there must be a reason. God's going to work something in you. If you get it sick, if you get something, then it was God's divine purpose. And therefore, if it was his divine purpose, I have a question for you then. What are you fighting it for? Let her rip. Do you believe that? Let's go out there quick as we can and whatever. If it's God's will, it'll happen. If it's not, it won't. Do you see now how silly that doctrine is? Why are we running for fear? Why do we run to the doctor? Let it, if it's God's will and he's teaching, let her rip. Let's see how far we can grow. Or we can submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. James 4:7. I don't know about you, but royal blood flows in my veins because I've come into a new family called the family of God. Refathered because of who he is. I'm not saying be a fool. You understand what I'm saying? But this thing, man, it just amazes me the way people just run in fear. So, not making fun of them. I'm just saying, man, we got to be consistent in our belief system. Like I said last week, it's quiet in this Methodist church, but that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. So, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 3 one more time. Have you enjoyed Ephesians so far? We're going to hang out in this topic of love because this is the key to the whole thing. And so, turn with me to Ephesians. We're going to read it one more time. And then I'm going to give you just a little bit of a refresher and read a few things. And we'll just enjoy the Word of God together as we encourage one another in the Lord. You okay with that? We Pentecostals are so guilty of we got to make something happen every service. Get a goosebump, chill bump, knock somebody down, do something weird. Why don't we just come together and enjoy the Lord? Man, that was powerful. We could easily dismiss right now. I'm just half tempted to. We've done what we came to do. But I won't. You can leave if you want to. We're not a cult. You're free to move wherever you want to go. Okay, so here we go. Reading in Ephesians 3, one more time. Aren't you glad we're in the family of God? Paul, one more time reading. For this cause, starting in verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. that thing that I said a little while ago is still nagging me. It's kind of the opposite. I just interrupted myself. If you're confused, there's a reason why, because I just, boing, I'm going back over here. Sometime I'm a ping pong ball in a dryer. Just got to hang with me. You know, a faith person recognizes, okay, if I can't get in total faith here, if I'm struggling, there's nothing wrong with me picking my fanny up and going to the doctor and find out what's going on. I mean, you know, we know God heals. We know he strengthens. We know he delivers. You've heard my own testimonies. I'm not backing up on that at all. But I know one thing for sure. This thing that I'm dealing with in my body, if I'm dealing with something, isn't from him. I'm going to go do something about it, one way or the other. Get in faith or find out what's going on and get this thing turned around. I believe the gospel is really simple. If it's bad, it's the devil, and if it's good, it's God. There, now I can continue. 14. Some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Since when did we start believing if it's bad, it might be God? James says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James says in the same chapter, let no man say when he is tempted and tested that he is tempted by God, for God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Can you shout hallelujah? That's sermon number one. Now we'll go on to sermon number two. There we go. So, 14, Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees. Somebody here's going, where'd he go? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. One more time, because we've been hanging out here for so long, I want to just remind you of what that means. That same word, dunamis, is used in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Many of you know the scripture well. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The word power is the Greek word exousia, describes delegated authority, influence. The day you chose to make Jesus and the Lord of your life is the day he delegated to you power and authority to become a child of God. Think of it. At that moment of decision, all the power and authority, divine influence that is resident within the mighty name of Jesus came to live on the inside of you. So rather than complain that you're weak and nothing special, it's time to start laying claim to what is stored up on the inside of you. 320, where we're headed, is right there. The same explosive, dynamic, phenomenal authority and power that resides within Jesus has now been delegated to you. Look at Ephesians 2:10 real quick, just a quick reminder. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad we are his workmanship and he lives on the inside of us? This spirit of might and of power dwells on the inside of us. If you go back and you examine what it's talking about, it is a spirit. This might is the type of thing that brings forth healing, deliverance, wholeness, All of these things that we preach are resident within the believer. Get a hold of that today. And all of that is firmly grounded, or should be, in the love of God. That you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted, we spent quite a bit of time there last week. Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. How many know there's two kinds of knowledge? There's sense knowledge, where we see something, we mentally assent, but there is a heart knowledge, are you here today, that moves mountains. Jesus put it this way in Mark 11:23. He said, if you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt those things which you say. Are you here today? Kenneth E. Hagin didn't say that. Jesus did. And you believe in your heart, those things which you say will come to pass, you will have, listen to the last part of that verse, you will have whatever you say. Many of us are the total of our talking yesterday. Now, before you get depressed about that, you can talk yourself out. You ever know somebody who is really good at talking themselves out of trouble? My brother, this is unheard of. Now, I'm going to take just a minute. It was not a funny thing at all. My brother was stopped in a van. They were doing huge concerts in Guatemala. I mean, we're talking about literally tens of thousands of people in auditoriums. In fact, he did one deal with Franklin Graham. 40,000 people knew his songs that had been on the charts for months on secular and Christian radio. And we're talking about no compromise gospel songs. But I mean, standing, we've got video of 40,000 people in a soccer stadium jumping and singing the words to his song while he's doing it. And just ministry flowing and different things. This was also during a time when there was a lot of turmoil, very, very dangerous times. And they were returning from Guatemala. He and his wife, one of the other group member, which happened to be his brother-in-law, and his wife's sister, of course. And the four of them, with all their equipment, were headed in a van back over to Honduras, went down through, I've been that down through that road many a time, down through to an area called Aguas Calientes, crossing the border, very, very dangerous times. And in one of those curves, I can't remember if it was this side in Guatemala, Honduras, I don't remember, but on one of the curves, they were stopped by bandits, all masked with machine guns, and pulled them off the road. Very, very serious situation. Took them back in, and I won't go into detail, but the ladies were getting ready to be violated. They had taken all their money, all their equipment, and had driven them way down a back road and pulled them all out on the road. And my brother, who is a talker, but he's also a Holy Ghost talker, Caleb. And we can make fun of his texts that are full books. And they are. But I also love that about him. It's just all of us are different. And in this instance, full of the Holy Ghost, my little brother began to talk. As God is my witness, and he'll have the chance to tell you the story himself sometime, but this is unheard of. He talked and prayed in the Holy Ghost in between and talked some more and pointed right at those guys with authority. And by the time, I'll spare you all the details, by the time he was done, they gave him back the van, stopped where they were going with the girls, returned the equipment, and he talked them into enough money for fuel to get back to San Pedro Sula. And that's also the Holy Ghost. If you understand what I'm talking about, that doesn't happen. My wife and I lived there a number of years. That doesn't happen. I've seen the bloody bodies on the road, and the reports, and the fear. I've had them try to run me down. I had one night coming back from High Mountain Santa Barbara Bible School where we had, and I was alerted inside I knew I should have never left, and I wanted to get back 2.5 hours away to my wife and my little girls at that time, and I pushed past that voice. I mean, no, he speaks to us for a reason. It would behoove us to listen. And so I went anyway. I took off by myself, 1 o'clock in the morning. My Ford pickup is running, I mean, muy bueno. And headed down through those mountains. And as I began to come down through, I noticed lights bouncing down through the pines, working its way down as if it was trying to cut me off. By the time I got down to the bottom and hit a long river, beautiful ranches in along that area, but it's in the middle of the night, and the growth is growing out into the road. As I'm moving down the highway, I mean, I was so alerted by the Holy Spirit. I'm very thankful for the Holy Ghost. I was ready. And two guys stepped out in plain clothes with AK-47s and swung around to stop. And, man, I was ready. I hit second gear. I knocked one of them with my mirror so hard I don't even know what happened. I hit second gear, rammed that deal, passed them praying in the Holy Ghost, flipped on my lights and fog lights, blinding them, and through and by them. And was I tell you what, I was awake on the rest of the way home. No trouble staying awake. But I should have never been in that spot to begin with. But how many are glad even in messes of our own making, if we're paying attention, he's going to help us. I don't know what that has to do with today's deal, but it's free. Won't cost you any extra. Where was I at? Huh? Talking to yourself. Yeah. Knowledge. Two kinds of knowledge. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that fun little side trail? You're not going to get that everywhere you go. How many know you can talk yourself out of trouble? If you're talking the right way, getting the Word of God down on the inside of you, and open your mouth. How many know the Word of God becomes powerful when we release it with faith from our lips? It's how you got born again. And Paul said, as you've received the Lord, as you received Him, so walk ye in Him. You know that walking in Him daily, open your mouth and say some things. Get some things in here and then say them. Okay. Two kinds of knowledge. Sense knowledge and a heart knowledge. This love surpasses sense knowledge. Sense knowledge will be drawn into offense. Sense knowledge will even spiritualize anger, unforgiveness. Well, you don't understand. And I'm doing this because. And so much division is born out of the devil helping spirit-filled believers make excuses for why they allow offense to invade their life and their heart. But the love of God, you get a revelation of the love of God for you. It'll have an impact on how the love of God flows through you. There's a reason why the Bible warns us over and over again to not become bitter. Don't allow a root of bitterness to take hold in your heart. Amen? But rather, let a revelation of the love of God. You know, as we're moving through this, I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would speak to all of us. It might be that it's time again for a few of us to maybe make a phone call or write a letter. Release somebody. Forgive them. Admit that you've built up all these reasons why you're justified in your bitterness because they did this and they did that and they did the other. Let me tell you something. Love, either you believe it or you don't, love really does conquer all. We may possibly get to 1 Corinthians 13 today. I don't know. But it actually says that. We've been trying for what, 3-4 weeks? Paul, once again, let me drive it home. He's saying, what I'm talking about is a divine revelation that it passes head knowledge. It's something that begins to, it's already in you if you're born again. But if you will be rooted and grounded in your thinking and in your heart, and let that be a revelation that allows that to begin to flow. Because the Bible says if you're born again, that love of God is already in you. Romans 5:5 states it clearly. The thing is we got born again, and for whatever reasons, I mean, life can deal some blows. The devil is mean. That's why Paul says in this same book, in the evil day, I spoke a couple of weeks ago about one of my evil days. You ever had an evil day? I mean, you were down for the 8 count. Nothing looked good. He said, in the evil day, having done all to stand therefore. How? And you got to get a revelation. Every one of those, and we're going to get there eventually, every one of those pieces of armor have to do with the mind. Joyce Myers, whether you like her or not, whether you agree with her teaching or not, she's dead on in her book, The Battleground is the Mind. And Paul, by the way, is where she got that idea from. We are transformed spiritually by renewing our mind in new truths. And this is not just trading information. That's what the world does. Positive thinking, Art Linkletter, on and on and on. I'm not saying they're all bad, but you got to have it rooted in the right stuff. And it's the Word of God where these ideas come from. Are you here today? He says that Christ may dwell, verse 17, in your hearts. I think that's an interesting statement, because if you study Paul's writings, he is very, very clear about this. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man, anyone, is in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Somewhere in the unseen part of you, the real you, the spirit man, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Would you raise your hand today and shout it out? I'm brand new in Jesus. That is so awesome. He says that that's only possible through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. This is miracle working power. And made the way for the presence of God to literally dwell in you. Paul says to the Corinthians, who were a bunch of nuts, read 1 Corinthians. They were fresh out of rank heathenism. The stuff they were involved in would shock you if you knew. Burn your ears. They were fresh out of that stuff. Man, they belled off whole hog, and Paul the missionary was having to bring some order. But he told those baby Christians who were having to be corrected a little bit, a little pow-pow, a lot of little pow-pow, so much so that in the second book he says, I repented that I had written such a strong letter to you, yet I don't repent. You remember that? Chapter 7? Because our brother's been restored. You listen to what I had to say. For godly sorrow. Oh, you don't hear that in a grace camp, do you? Godly sorrow? That's why I'm careful once in a while to separate condemnation, which is fear of punishment from God, to a sense of grief within us, the Holy Ghost, not condemnation, not judgment, not leaving the premise, but lovingly, because He loves you, and is in you speaks from within and saying, son, don't go there. There's a price to pay there. He doesn't leave like so many of us were taught. Romans 8 tells us that in our weaknesses, he takes together with us even tighter and prays for us with groanings. When I'm failing, he sticks closer than a brother. How many are glad for Jesus today? I said, how many are glad for Jesus today? Aren't you glad for that truth? And he calls us the temple. He tells these baby Corinthians, you are the temple. You are the house. You house God. And it amazes me under the new covenant, the shocking things that fly in the face of all religion. For example, we were just reading in men's group last week once again, where he's telling, I believe it's the Colossians, he says, don't you know? And he names a bunch of terrible sins of the flesh. And he says, don't you know that the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience for these things? And he said, but you who are children of light, these shouldn't be in you, so stop it. Read that in reverse. They're involved in it. He's calling them children of light. And he's saying, stop it. You stop. You put on Christ and put off this other. You can only do that unless you've fully received his love. Know that he does not judge you, that he loves you. He hasn't quit. He's not pointing a finger. He doesn't condemn. He lives on the inside of you. This has been completely taken care of forever. I will never back up on that. That's a done deal. How many are glad for the love of the Father? No hitch ever again for his love. Isn't that awesome? And he calls us the house of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in another place, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another place he's speaking, he says a similar thing. He says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. How many would lift your hands up together with me today and say, Lord, let that revelation of your love, let me be very aware of that. Very aware. I'm not my own. That means as I grow in this love thing, I don't just say whatever comes off the top of my head when I'm mad. Husbands, that might help your marriage a little bit. Are you here today? I'm very glad for the love of God. And I think it's interesting here that he said that Christ may dwell in your heart. He knows Christ is in you. He's not going back on what he's taught. But this thing, dwell. He's dwelling there. We're allowing him. We're acknowledging. It's more about us. He's talking to us and understanding. We're allowing him to live big in this revelation, new heart knowledge that surpasses knowledge, that he would dwell. He who is love would be given abode continually. I don't know about you, but I don't know if we'll ever get that 100%. I don't think it's possible this side of heaven. But if that's the goal I'm shooting for every day, until I do see him face to face, my life is going to look completely different. For all the power of God is rooted in the love of God. That's something. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. This is revelation. With all saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height? And to know, to come. That word know is the same word that is used in many places, the intimate knowledge of a husband and wife. And he knew her. And she gave birth to a child. You understand? That word, same word. This is intimacy. And to know the love of Christ, which passes head knowledge. Isn't that something? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many know you are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost right now in your spirit? But how many know your spirit, man, isn't all of you? We live, we breathe, we experience life. He gave us this body for a purpose, a vessel that is to be a servant, not the leader. Amen. We've talked about that enough. Are you here? Blessed. Come on, shout it out. I'm blessed because of Jesus. All right? He wants all of this. Paul said that you would be preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body. The whole man. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power, he just addressed that power on the inside of us. How many know the love of God is the most important thing that you could ever ascribe to walking in? We got so many of us charismaniacs are so into so many things, but give ourselves passes and others passes because their giftings are so great they can behave any way they want. And that's foolishness. And it's time somebody calls it out. I don't care who you are or how big your name is. Love's the first deal. I'm very glad for the love of God. What brought you into relationship with Jesus? A revelation of his love. I'm so glad for the love of God. Brother Womack in his book, how many have ever heard of, this is an older series, there's nothing old about it though, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. Tremendous book. Chapter 16, in the middle of this, for he is finding the balance, understanding God's love. In the new creation, through what Jesus did, God has already provided everything we need. Can you shout hallelujah? We just need to learn what has been provided by grace. Then we must learn how to rest in it. Do you know that's your biggest battle? Not chasing devils around, it's resting in faith. Do you know that even your power over the devil, the authority that you step in, comes from a revelation to the degree that you rest? That's what James means when he says in James 4:7, submit to God. That's not submit. This is agree with what he's saying to you and about you and in you and through you. Just agree, relax, and let God be God in you and through you. Just relax. So many, us Pentecostals, I'm going to say it again, charismatic, we're just the worst about just, praise God, we're just give praise. Sometimes I've wanted to turn. I've worked with a lot of these guys on the mission field, great men, good works, but you just want, dude, you're having miracles out here, but you're driving your wife crazy. I've watched missionaries end up divorced while they had miracles on the platform. These things should not be. We just need to learn what has been provided by grace. Then we must learn how to rest in it, trusting God and appropriating what he has already provided by faith. Although this foundational truth has many applications, the number one way it has affected me is in my personal relationship with God. It has deeply affected my understanding of how much God loves me. See, every time you touch the subject and I deal with a few of those things because I'm pointing out the importance of the love of God, we all go there. I must love more. Wrong reaction. Because that's you doing something to get more or to get something or to get more approval or more power. And it's where religion and where the natural bent of our flesh, quite frankly, goes automatically when these subjects are broached. You're right. I gotta go get on the telephone. I gotta. You know what? You gotta, but not for that gotta. We gotta get clear why we're doing what we're doing. It's out of a flow, not out of a religious constraint. Born out of fear, if I don't. How many love Jesus today? It has deeply affected my understanding of how much God loves. Here's the key. I said it last week. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. Brother T.L. Osborne, a man who had one of the most powerful miracle ministries ever, had people that would come to me. It's one of his books. Would come to him and say, Brother Osborne, we admire your ministry so much. We want to see God move in that way. Would you pray for me that I'll have more power? And he would gently and lovingly rebuke them and say, I can't do that for you. But what I will pray for you is this, that you will have a revelation of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto your wholeness. You don't need more power. You got all the power you'll ever need. What you need a revelation of is the gospel itself. This gospel of peace, grace poured out, undeserved. How many are glad for undeserved favor today? The love of God. He says everything else in Christian life comes as a result of relationship. So many people are trying to work some kind of a formula. They're looking for some kind of a key for two or three steps they can follow, something they can do. They treat God like he's a slot machine. Give me something I can stick in there and pull the handle so that I can make God come out. It doesn't work that way. The most important truth I've learned from all this is that God's love for me is unconditional. Can you wave both hands and thank God for that? Woohoo! Hallelujah! Unconditional. It's not based on anything I do. God's love towards me is consistent. It never fluctuates. Based on my performance. When I'm better, God doesn't love me more. When I'm bad, he doesn't love me less. I've come to recognize that God's grace and therefore God's love, favor, and acceptance of me is unconditional. Whew. Will you just take a deep breath right now and relax? That is so awesome. That is awesome. It has nothing to do with who I am. It has everything to do with who he is. It's not because I'm lovely. It's because he is love. This is one of the greatest applications of this truth. The next heading that he has here I think is interesting because it speaks to a lot of the things that I would like to gently address as we move through this. For we are a body, we're a family. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. Look around. Much more than in this room, but for right now, this is where we're at. We're called to be one, somewhere, on some level. Society, and even church now, screams independence. Even grace is being used as, I got this. Well, you do, but not alone, because of him in you. We got to get these things straight. It's not self-confidence, it's Christ's confidence that makes the difference. Uncontrolled. 1 John 4:9 is what he has here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. Are you here today? That we might live through him. Let me back up and read it one more time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. I hope you are underlining these things, writing them down, letting them be a part of you. You're not going to remember very little of what I said. You'll remember a lot more if you're writing stuff down, making notes, getting a hold of these things. Not what I say. But how many know that when I get up here and when you step in here, our first goal should say, Holy Spirit, in spite of Bubba, I'm here because I believe you want to speak to me today. Amen. A lot of times you think I'm barking at you from up here and you don't realize, man, I am giving myself one heck of a whooping. I'm preaching something that I know. I'm just barely dog paddling this area. And the reason it's such revelation to me and you're going, wow, that's so, is because I am stepping out in faith in these areas just like you. I may be anointed to preach it in a special way, but nobody's anointed to live it in a special way. I got to step in it just like you. How do we know that God loves us? Such knowledge is not based on a feeling or emotion. Feelings and emotions can be dangerous. I've watched a particular side, and this is with many people, but I watched a particular side of my family, and I've got to be careful because I know I'm recorded. But the very thing that makes them so precious and awesome and close as a family and reunions and all those things that are there is also the very thing when it is not submitted to God. Very emotional. And on that side of the family, you have, maybe we ought to strike this off the record. I don't know how to do it. I'm just going to move forward. Let it be what it is. You have a number of homes where there are not just one or two marriages, multiple. Now, thank God today. How many know God never quits on us? He forgives. Aren't you glad divorce is not the unpardonable sin? Remarriage is not the unpardonable sin. You can't go back and fix all that. We got to believe that when He forgave us to the uttermost, cleansed us. And whether some of us religious folks like it or not, there are some cases where divorce was... You fill in the blank. Some of you have been there. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for new beginnings? And I know that not one of you in here would tout that theme on this side of it. You would warn any younger person, don't go the way I went. There's a better way. Right? But aren't you glad we don't have to sit there in condemnation? We can breathe deep and free and know that God gives us new life and direction and peace, and contrary to a lot of religious organizations, ministry, women included, maybe especially. But I've watched as emotion, and it comes from some things that I don't want to get into, because if this is heard, then it could really be tied together and get me in some hot water. But there were some very, very traumatic things that happened in that family that caused them a tragic death. A mother, young in life, caused there to be a type of just needing to constantly somehow... And when that's not, even though it comes from legitimate reasons, when it's not submitted to God, it can be something that will cause you to begin to just repeat. Emotions become what you move by. I feel of today, I don't tomorrow. I feel like I want to. I mean, it just can really get you in some big messes. I mean, we shouldn't be emotionless. Emotions are wonderful. God made you an emotional being. I love to laugh. Yesterday, I stood in here with a close friend of mine, a rancher, hurt in a branding accident. He made 8 more years in a wheelchair and passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I stood here and cried, grieved with the family, but rejoiced in where he's at. Emotions are wonderful. There's a necessary flow of grief. Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. He wasn't weeping because these people are so stupid. No. The Son of God was there. He felt their pain. He knew what was going on. But when you let that become What leads your life? Today people fall in and out of love like they fall in and out of a ditch. These things for the believer should not be so. Feelings and emotions can be dangerous. Ephesians 4:19 says of the godless that they, going beyond, or quoting 4:19 of Ephesians, past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Since lasciviousness isn't a word, you think it's tough in English, you ought to hear it in Spanish. Listen to this. Concupiscencia. How about that one? That's what it is in Spanish. Woo! Concupiscencia. Say that three times as fast as you can. Since lasciviousness isn't a word that we use often today, many people just skip over it without really thinking about it, what it means. Lasciviousness is uncontrolled, unrestrained, unfettered lust or desire. Let me just take a little time out right here for young moms and dads. And I don't know if anybody in, well, I forgot, there's Rebecca. For young moms and dads, restraint and control are good things to teach. It amazes me, you go to different Christian events. It's so different. Jackie and I were talking about it. We're young. I consider myself young. But in 25 years, Becca, how old are you? That's a terrible thing to ask a woman. You don't know how old you are? How old is she, Bruce? So, 36 years ago, that's my baby, that's my first one of four. 36 years ago, you could go to a church event or to an event, any event, and for the most part, kids behaved. Now, don't take this as condemnation. Please don't misunderstand. But the more we get over into this pop culture and this free-range nonsense and all this other stuff, it doesn't just affect you. It affects them in their future. I was shocked. In a recent deal, this kid about this tall comes flying around the corner, slams his feet into a wall back here. Don't worry, it's none of yours. Relax. Slams his feet into a wall, tries to clamber over top, falls off the other side. These people go to another church, hits his head on the floor, comes running out here, throws stuff all over the place, and somebody went to try to grab him, and the mom said, oh, he's fine. He's just expressing himself. I mean, sometimes love, well, yeah, it will. It'll express a little something on the... And we've bought into, the church has bought into this nonsense. When she was little and when the next one came along, we didn't, I mean, this may not be the right way to go, but it's the way we did it. We didn't even put our knickknacks up. You touch that? I'll do it till the cows come home. And with a couple of them, the cows came home several times and I'm still working on it. But we got there. Little 5-foot giant. A leader on the inside. Yeah, I remember years ago dealing with a situation in another state, another ministry. And they had two kids that were born at the same, twins. I'm being recorded, and man, I'm getting used to this. And When those girls hit teenagehood, the second child, there was a problem in the birth, and there was a lack of oxygen, and it caused her to be, what's the proper word now? You can't say retarded anymore. Precious girl. Special needs. I said it already, so it doesn't matter. So you know where I'm going. And that little girl ran that family because she was special. Let her do anything because she's special. And it was tearing their marriage apart. It was tearing the family up. And I remember I was praying, saying, Lord, there's got to be answers. I've never dealt with anything like this. And I was headed home, and I used to listen to, coming home from the ranch, there was just a little spot, right time of the day, on a normal day's work. Cowboy, and you don't ever control that. But on a normal day's work, I could flip on, there'd be Dr. Dobson. And lo and behold, he's on there with another minister that deals with special needs. And he said, one of the biggest mistakes that parents that have kids with special needs do is to, please, for God's sakes, if you're here and you think I'm targeting you, I know nothing. I have nobody in mind. So if the shoe fits, wear it. But I promise you, I'm just flowing with what's on the inside. So just relax. Let God speak to you. Amen. I promise. So here's the deal. He said, that child needs discipline. It may not be the same type, but there needs to be strict discipline, correction with direction, no different than the rest, different way. And I'm telling you, it's still true from the Word of God. The rod drives bullet. I don't advocate abuse. Ridiculous. I don't advocate beating. But how many know there is a place when they're really young, when it's age appropriate, for the Board of Education to be applied to the seat of knowledge? If you love them, you'll say stop. Now, your way of doing that may vary. I'm not saying that you always need to physically grab something. In some cases, that may not be the right way. The older they get, we got to be wise about these things. If we don't know, we need help. Little girls past a certain age, you don't go there. Boys either, but especially little girls. There are ways to exercise firm, clear, faithful, without fear, discipline, and teach children how to behave in public and in church. Teach them, train their emotions. I remember arguing with somebody near and dear to me when the kids were young. I'd say, you will not fight. Both the two girls and my two boys, you will not fight. When they were little, you're going to hug each other and love. And it was comical watching them, just tears still running. As adults, you live close, you go through stuff. How many have ever had a fight with your sister or your brother? I mean, when you get adults, you love each other. Those that you love the deepest, you're the most vulnerable to. And something that can be said can hurt you, and it can escalate. But you always come back to the table when you have the love of God in you. You look over some things. You stop the judgment. You examine yourself. That's one of the things I love about grace. Before I got into the message of grace and understood that I was the righteousness of God in Christ, I was constantly looking inward. I was sin conscious, but never got anywhere with it because it never was enough. But I was constantly looking there because I got to fix me. God, I got to preach. I'm struggling here. It's one of the things I love about the message of grace that was so freeing. I got this cleared up once and for all. And now it's a freedom to be able to stand back and say, Leiford, That stinks. No fear. No fear of judgment. Knowing that He loves me. Knowing I can crawl up in His lap. Nothing's changed. But His love inside me grows me up. Back to the kids thing. And I had no plan. You look at me. I don't ever look at my notes. So it wasn't in my notes. But it's in these young days and in these young years where kids learn how to, they're trained. I remember being told, you need to be careful. They're little people too. You need to explain to them. And I watch as they explain to a four-year-old and then thank them when they do something good. I never thank my kids for doing the right thing. I loved them. They know that. But I don't thank them for doing right. I correct, lead, direct, train their emotions. That's our job. Raise up a child in the way they should go. I'm actually training their emotions. I'm actually training their reaction to things in life. I'm actually training the way they respond. These things are biblical because if we'll establish these things in young ones, then when they're old, they'll already have a bit of a handle on, I know God loves me, and because of that, I can possess myself. Now, they won't consciously think that as they're coming up through their teenage years, but unrestrained and uncontrolled emotions. People, how many of you have been there? How many bailed on a job or a relationship? And I realize you got to be careful. Bailed, don't raise your hand. For God's sake, bailed on a marriage? Aren't you glad for the grace of God today? The love of God that makes the difference. But when we don't let these things control our lives. Here's what it says. Lasciviousness is uncontrolled, unrestrained, unfettered lust or desire. This scripture describes a coming generation of people who have given themselves over uncontrolled, unrestrained emotions, feelings, and desires that go beyond the norm. He says here, I believe we live in that generation. How many of you can say amen? Okay. This generation today has gone far beyond what God ever intended our emotions to be. People today have elevated emotions to a level that is absolutely ungodly. How many can say amen again? I've talked to thousands of people who told me they're depressed. I've asked them, what's the problem? What is it that's depressing you? They answer, well, nothing specific I can think of. How many know people go through tough stuff? And there's a real issue there. We're not making light of that at all. That's why we need one another. That's why we need to be sensitive. We see somebody that's struggling. You don't stand back, well, get in faith, sister. No, we should love them till they can get a hold of. We've been there. In fact, Ephesians 6 says that we fulfill the law of Christ, a new law. Not the old law, not a reference to the old law, not even a layover. Separate. That we fulfill the law of Christ. When we see a brother who's struggling and we go to them, and restore them in a spirit of meekness, knowing that we could be there ourselves. That's true ministry. Not this. What I do up here, there's, oh, that's a ministry. I wish I could be in the ministry. No, this is not true. This little time that we have here, that's ministry. The love of God will prepare every one of you in here to raise, and I believe that as I'm talking, it's opening up. Whoa, I didn't see that before. And Holy Spirit, thank you. And amplifying and expanding that the Spirit of might would strengthen you. To have a new revelation and expand your ability to receive what He will empower you to give away. The love of God. Raise your hand all over the room today. Man, this is like deep and rich. Not my message, what the Word of God is telling me and you today. Whew. Nothing specific I can think of. I just feel this. They don't have a reason for their depression other than I just feel this. At some point along the way, we've got to begin to believe what the Word of God says about us. Can you say amen? I wish I had more time. He's got another book here that I think is powerful, called Self-Centeredness, The Root of All Grief. You better have your big boy pants on when you read it, because he doesn't waste any time getting to the issue. But I don't know about you, but I have a teachable spirit. Lord, talk to me. I'm not worried now. I know that when you bring correction into my life, Jesus, you're not mad at me. You're not disapproving of me. This is not a litmus test to see if you're going to continue to walk with me. Hebrews 13:8. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. That's good stuff. Always good stuff. Man, what do? I've worked myself into a hole here, and it's 20 till. We won't get to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll do that next week. Turn with me to first, in line with what we've been talking about, and we'll just amplify this as we go on next week. So the idea is that I get an expanded understanding of the love of God for me. So in closing, well, I'll see if I can't at least wrap this up. And then we'll dismiss. Aren't you glad you didn't listen to all the nonsense and came to church? I am. First John. Chapter 4. I'm just going to read through the chapter and we'll dismiss. I'll try. I don't know. I'm going to try not to expound too much. Chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, verse 1, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, right? That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Quick side note, that's how you know a cult from a real Christian entity. Cults, sooner or later, if you dig deep enough, you'll find out that cults, every one of them, Mormons, the more well-known ones, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness. I didn't say hate them. I didn't say treat them ugly. Pray for them. Many of them are sincerely, most of them, are sincerely, I mean, they. What do you do if you're raised in that? Okay? But they're considered a cult because sooner or later, as you dig deep enough, and there's many others, those are the two that we're aware of the most around here, is that they deny, when it comes right down to it, their Jesus is not our Jesus. Now, don't be confused by someone from among them. More Mormons, anybody else, that don't even know what their own people believe. My wife was shocked one day over here at Heritage Middle School when there was a little kid that come around the corner, and I don't remember what happened, but he ended up breaking something and was bleeding all over the place. And a Mormon gal my wife knew went running out there, grabbed that person by the leg, started praying in tongues, and in the name of Jesus, commanding healing into his legs. Apparently she'd been watching Christian TV, because she didn't get that at the local. So in her own self, in spite of what was around her and what she still was a part of, she came into a relationship. Jesus is not embarrassed about your setting or your surrounding. I know many Spirit-filled Catholics. I wish they'd get out of there because the influence is strong. But I've seen a man born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and God moving in their life. And maybe it's none of my business. Maybe they're in there for now for a reason. Who knows? So we need, but Catholics are not a cult because they do consider, mostly. I mean, there's varying forms of Catholicism. I mean, you've got, I don't need to get into all that. I, down in Central America where I grew up, old school Roman Catholicism, they did not elevate Jesus at all. It was all about Mary. And the Bible says that's cult-like. We got a problem. We got a serious problem. But that's not the case with all of them anymore, and you can put all the Baptists in the same park and all the Pentecostals in the same park. So, at any rate. But cults are defined by this. Do you believe, do you confess that Jesus, so if you ever wonder, just a little side note, little Christian education, you ever want to know what a cult is and why they're considered that and why they're not considered Christian is on this basis. They deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin. It's amazing how the History Channel mocks the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary. What Catholic Church calls Immaculate Conception, supernatural. How the History Channel and others mock that sort of thing. They zero in on that. It's amazing what the devil doesn't like. That ought to give you a good clue of what God does. At any rate, moving right along, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is what... This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard of that it should come and even now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I love the statement here. John, the apostle of love, is not saying you're going to overcome them. You have. We need to get a revelation of that. And he's getting ready to say why. We've already come. Where's your conversation at? Gonna or have? Come on. Have. You have overcome. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that are of the world therefore speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and there's that word know again. The most intimate possible word expression of intimacy is right there, knoweth. This means he experiences God. This is not saying, and I used to hear this preached and even taught it myself, that if you don't perceive that you love somebody, how many have ever struggled loving somebody? How many, as a born-again spirit believer, everything in you hated them, but didn't, but did, but didn't? When it got right down to it, you couldn't hate them, but you might have spent way too long thinking you did. He's not saying you're not in God, you're not born again, but what he's saying is you don't know, you're not experiencing him. When we have aught in our heart and anger, and we justify it, I don't care what it's about. We're not really experiencing him. That's what I meant a couple of weeks ago, that when we walk in love, that doesn't mean for a few minutes after a nice sermon, you're nice to somebody by faith. When we begin to receive, when we get a revelation of the kind of love that he has for us, As we move through, there's no way I can teach this enough. I'm just going to teach it enough and keep scattering seed to give the Holy Spirit room to let this be magnified on the inside of you. Sadly, this isn't popular. We approach the teaching on love as another topic. We're going to teach on love for the next few weeks. Be a nice person. Be a good person. Receive the... This is better caught, as somebody once said, and it's true. This theme is better caught than taught. So what we have to do is lay out truth, set the table, and then trust God together. How many are agreeing God together? Getting a hold of insight by the Holy... that I can't give. Everybody's looking for revival. What they mean is we want to see some pop. We want to see some sensational stuff. We need a show, man. Everyone that loveth is born of God and experiences Him. He that loveth not is not experiencing God. Is it okay if I paraphrase that? You see that? For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. I love that song that Maria sang this morning. We joined her. So powerful. But the power of that song is not in our love for God. If you think about that bridge, help me, Maria. Our affection, our devotion poured out on... You know where that comes from, the story. This is a woman who had a revelation of His love for her first. She was loving back, not loving to get. Little girls that are never directed and somebody loving them enough to help guide their emotions, by the time they're a beautiful young woman and in the full blossom of womanhood, they're absolute prey. Would you say with me, not anymore? We're getting truth. Why isn't this stuff in the church? You ought to be talking about that on Sunday morning. That's Wednesday night stuff. I'm tired of that crap. Yeah, when you're never there? No, we'll do it on Sunday morning. That's not very seeker-friendly. Okay. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. Are you reading your Bible with me? Herein is love. He's saying, here's where the crux of this revelation lies. I just told you that he who wants to experience God will love his brother. But here's where this revelation lies. Not in that you loved him, but that he first loved us. Wow. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. There it is again. There's that dwell thing. John believed like Paul, I'm alive unto God. God lives in me. My spirit, man, is one. He's not talking about dwell like you're a Christian or not. He's speaking of a form of continual dwelling. When somebody visits your house, they're not dwelling. Okay? No man is seen, let me back. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God worship. Team, make your way forward, would you please? I've got to shut this down. I'm way over. Isn't this been rich? It's hard to know where to quit. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, look at that, and we'll quit right there. I mean, there is some, he's getting ready here to talk about God's perfect love that cast out all fear. That's a good message for today. I said, that's a good message here for today. We won't get there, but perfect love. When I get a revelation that the favor of the Lord surrounds me like a shield, that's just the love of God. That's Old Testament vernacular for the love of God is more than just, I just love you. Or he just loves me. This is power. This is the power. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Can you do it that fast? All that we get ask or think according to the power that works in us. Stand to your feet today. I got to quit because we're out of time. We're out of time 20 minutes ago. There's nothing going on out there. You want to just go on for another hour? People are holed up. Backed into their toilet paper with two AK-47s. Jeez. What's the matter with us? Would you just lift your hands all over the room today? Thank you, Lord, for continued revelation of your love for me. Herein is the power of this whole thing. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. John says,